Hi, my name is Marvin. Whether this is your first time watching or you tune in every week, we want to say thank you for joining us today in our online service. We are a multi-generational, multi-ethnic church that is committed to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, both in word and action, in our city and the world around us. If you're searching for a home church or looking to get connected more at Christian Assembly, simply scan the code on the screen. This will give you information about the life of our church, such as weekend service times, special events, life groups, kids' church, youth, and so much more. Thanks for watching, and may God bless you as you do.
Well, let me add my welcome to those that you've already received. Want to say welcome to all of you who are visitors and those of you who are guests. Thank you. And also want to greet those of you online, as well as you, those of you at the 1115 South as well. Love you, church. Pray for you. So grateful for you. Well, you've already heard, we've been announcing it for weeks, that next weekend is our Candlelight Christmas celebration services, and it's going to be great. So excited. In fact, most of the studies show, and the attendance would show as well, that people are more open this upcoming week to an invitation to join you at church, maybe than any other week throughout the year. So I want to encourage you to be thinking about who you would invite and bring with you next week. Last year, we had a little over 4,000 people with us in person, not counting online. And so a few tips, I'm just going to give you pro tips on kind of a Christmas with CA. First, I want to encourage you to park at the mall. You don't have to feel guilty about that. We have a contract with them, and so you can walk the two blocks. Unless you have small kids or you have mobility issues, we encourage you to park there, or one of the offsite lots that we have to allow visitors or guests, people with mobility issues or small kids, to have the lots that are right around the buildings. Of course, you can do street parking as well. I want to strongly encourage you to go to a service time that we might not normally have, because visitors will most likely show up at our normal service time. So we possibly, based off of previous years, could grow by 1,500 to maybe even 2,000 people next weekend on top of what our normal attendance is. Now, here's the deal. We've planned for it by adding all the different services and seats. But if nobody goes to those services, then we're going to have too many people here at this service. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you to go to one of those other services. For those of you who are students and parents of students, I want to strongly encourage you to go to the 6:30 North service, where we'll have our students and families. We're going to have live teaching, by the way, at every venue, and we'll have live music, and it'll be the same sermon everywhere. So I want to encourage you, no matter what venue you're at, it'll be great. Also, if you ever duck into the 9 a.m. service, just want to encourage you, don't go to the 9 a.m. Sunday morning service. Last weekend, it was not Christmas, and we had 60 people in the lobby. So if we grow by double, we'll have to turn hundreds of people away from that service. So do not go to the Sunday 9 a.m. service. I encourage you to, if you want to go on Sunday morning, go to 1115 North, which will also have a lot there as well. Lastly, if you're a young adult and you sometimes attend Fusion or regularly attend Fusion, just want you to know that Fusion is going to move from the north side of the street to this south side of the street to make space for our growing young adult community next weekend as well. So it's going to be a great time together. We're really excited about it. You're going to see an update on our Christmas gifts from last year that we did, all the clean water projects we did around the world. We'll show you an update on that. We'll announce some new stuff we're going to be doing in 2025. It's always a great and fun weekend together. So I want to encourage you to join us. And also, lastly, those of you who are online, you're in LA, want to encourage you to come be with us. We've added probably 1,800 seats to make more space for people. So if you're in LA, you're local, we'd love to have you come and be with us. Well, this weekend, it is a baptism weekend. So excited. We have 30 people getting baptized across all of our services, and we'll be doing that at the end of our message time. If you came, you're a visitor, guest, family member of somebody who's getting baptized, want to welcome you as you come to celebrate with us. Also this weekend, we are kicking off a brand new two-week series that we've entitled God With Us. The humor columnist named Dave Barry, once reflected upon the fast approaching Christmas. He said it this way in one of the columns he wrote. He said, "Your standard man at this point in the Christmas season has purchased zero gifts. He has not yet gotten around to purchasing an acceptable gift for his wife for last Christmas. He did get her something last year, but he could tell by her reaction to it that she had not been dreaming of getting an auto emergency kit, even though it was a deluxe model with a booster cable and an air compressor. Clearly, this gift violated an important rule, but the man has no idea what the rule was, and his wife was too upset to tell him." Gift giving. People do it all around the world. In fact, Christmas might be, I think it is, the most celebrated holiday on planet Earth. I mean, I have friends who are atheists who celebrate Christmas, right? It's like, oh yeah, I'm giving gifts, we're celebrating. And people all over the world are going to be giving gifts for Christmas. And it's really quite remarkable when you think about it, because all of this gift giving really started with three gifts that were given to Joseph and Mary by the wise men when they came to find Jesus. But even more deeply than the gifts that they had given to Joseph and Mary, we give gifts at Christmas time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, who the prophet Isaiah, more than 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus, predicted in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." Listen carefully. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." And that name Emmanuel means God with us. So this weekend, we kick off a brand new series, God With Us, the greatest gift ever given. Let's consider that. But before we do, let's pray. God, we do thank you that no matter what gifts we might give one another, it doesn't even compare to the gift that you've given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, who has come just as you promised, to do just what you said he would do. Jesus, we thank you for choosing to come of your own free will to become God incarnate, to be God Emmanuel, God with us. And as you've drawn near to us, so now I pray that you would help us draw near to you as we turn to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. And if you did, you can flip it open to this center section. You'll see the teaching notes that are there for you, as well as the scriptures that we'll be digging into. Matthew gives us this account of the birth of Jesus, picking it up in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and onward. This is what we read. "Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord himself through the prophet." It's referring to the prophet Isaiah. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and she named him Jesus." Now, the birth of Jesus, it took place exactly as that God had promised through his prophets. Some of them, these prophecies were recorded hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. Others were recorded even thousands of years before his birth. Isaiah told us that he would be born of a virgin and would be God with us. The prophet Micah told us that he would be born in the town of Bethlehem. Genesis told us that he would be born from the tribe of Judah. Samuel told us that his ancestral line would be from King David. Hosea told us that he'd have to flee to Egypt. The Psalms told us how he'd be killed. Zechariah told us that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And Isaiah also told us that he'd be buried in a rich man's tomb. Now, I just gave you eight of the prophecies that are contained, that were written at least 400 years, as many as a couple thousand years in advance. There's a guy who's a professor. His name's Dr. Peter Stoner. He was the chairman of the Department of Mathematics and Astronomy right over here in Pasadena at Pasadena City College, so just a few miles away from us. And Dr. Stoner calculated that the chances of Jesus fulfilling just eight prophecies by chance was 1 in 100 quadrillion. Now, that's a number with a 1 with 17 zeros after it. Now, that's a big number, but let me just help you visualize how big of a number that is, because it's stunning when you look at it. If you had 100 quadrillion quarters, like those things that we carry around, George Washington's had on it, a quarter of a dollar, right? The coin, that's a quarter. If you had 100 quadrillion of those and you spread them across the entire state of California, they would be 3 1/3 feet deep over the entire state of all of California. Think about that for a moment. So whether you went to Mammoth or San Diego or San Francisco, whether you went to Palm Desert or Bakersfield, there would be 3 1/3 feet deep of quarters covered across the state. Now, imagine that you took 1/4 of the 100 quadrillion and you put a black X on it and you put it somewhere in the state of California within the 3 1/3 feet deep sea of quarters. And then you got your friend and you blindfolded them and you turned them loose in the sea of quarters, telling them that they could go anywhere in the state of California and dig down through 3 1/3 feet of quarters, and they could pick up just 1/4. The odds that your friend would pick up just the right quarter with the black X are the same as those eight prophecies being fulfilled accidentally in the life of Jesus. Now think about that. That's pretty stunning. But here's where it gets even more stunning. There's not just eight prophecies. There's 300. So think about the fact that actually it would be exponentially even harder for this to happen by chance. So here's the thing. So really what I would say is, mathematically, there is no chance that this all happened by chance. It all happened exactly as God said it would. He planned it to a T and prophesied it and let us know in advance so that we would know who the Messiah is and that there is only one Messiah by which we can be saved. God promised Jesus' birth with all of the details correct. Now, why did God go to all this trouble to tell us that Jesus would be coming and then perfectly fulfill it in history on the first Christmas to be God with us? I want to draw out 3 reasons of the why God is with us, why he did all of this. The first is this, is that God's presence reveals God's priorities, and you are a priority to God. Now, we know that presence reveals priority, right? Like, if you invite somebody to a wedding, will they come or not? Well, one of the predictors of whether they will respond to your invitation, whether they will come or not, is kind of where you land on their list of priorities, right? So if you invite a friend who's in another city, and they make the time, and they stand in line at the airport, and they squeeze into the seat with no leg room, why do they do that? Because you're a priority to them. That's why they do that. That's what they're saying to you through their actions. It's not that you just kind of matter to them. It's that you are at or near the top of their priority list. So God shows us that you are God's priority. Will you believe that? Now, it's hard for many of us to believe that we could be God's priority. In fact, the most honest version of the story is it's hard for me to believe that. In fact, even when I was praying and I was studying and I wrote that down, I wrote down the line, we are God's priority. And I immediately thought, I can't say that. Like that's arrogant. That's too human-centered. How could I possibly say it? But notice, as I prayed and as I studied more, notice God didn't just send an angel. God didn't just send a prophet. He didn't just send an ambassador, and he didn't just send a pastor. God himself came, Emmanuel, God with us, not only with us, but notice also for us. Matthew 1, verse 21, the angel tells Joseph, Mary will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came to be God with us and for us, to save his people from their sins. To God, if you think about Christmas from God's perspective, to God, Christmas was the decision to send his beloved son, Jesus Christ, into the middle of a war zone, and for Christ to come freely, chosen of his own will, to be with us in the most vulnerable form possible of a baby, knowing that he would die so that the enemies of God could have the opportunity to become the friends of God. So God's presence reveals his priorities, and you and I, we are God's priority. The second thing we see is this, is that God's presence offers us joy and peace in the midst of our challenges. When Luke recounts the birth of Christ, two words stand out to me in the announcement that is made, and the two words are joy and peace. And everywhere you go, everyone you know is searching for joy and peace. No one ever says, you know what I really can't stand? I can't stand when I feel peaceful and joyful. I don't like that. Like, I wish I had more conflict and sadness in my life. Like, that's what I'm going for this year, is I want more conflict and sadness in my life. No one ever says that. Everyone is looking for peace and joy. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the announcement comes, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace, and here's the key, among those he favors. The truth of God with us is particularly powerful when life becomes difficult. The Christmas story itself is filled with trials. We sometimes kind of gloss over that and can kind of want to clean it up. But Mary and Joseph, they faced misunderstanding and ridicule from those around them while this was unfolding. They were forced to travel to Bethlehem under very difficult circumstances because of a political leader issuing a census decree. Then shortly after Jesus' birth, they had to flee to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath, who was going to kill a bunch of boys under the age of 2 because he was trying to kill the Christ child who had been born. And so maybe in this Christmas season, you find yourself in a season of hardship. Perhaps you're dealing with loss or financial stress or broken relationships. The good news is that this Christmas and every Christmas and all the time because of Christmas is that God is not absent in your pain. He is both with you and for you. Psalm 34:18 assures us, and it says this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, God's presence doesn't always remove the trials, just like Jesus arriving in the manger didn't remove all the trials, but it sustains us through them. A few weeks ago, the Wall Street Journal headline read that Bible sales this year are up 22% compared to last year, despite the fact that general book sales are flat. So it's not that people are buying more books. People are buying the same amount of books, but they're buying one book way more often, 22% more often, which is the Bible. And so publishers were asked why there is a surge in Americans purchasing Bibles. And this was their answer, quote, "More and more people in America are buying their first Bible because they're anxious and they're searching for peace and joy." For those of you who are Christians, think about that for a moment. 22% more Bibles have been purchased this year. That means all around you, your coworkers, neighbors, friends, family members, people that you pass on the street and you drive by on the freeway, they are quietly purchasing Bibles for the very first time. They're looking for peace and joy. They're looking for what you and I, if you're a Christian, have in Christ. And I want to encourage you to help them. Like, do you remember the first time, if you're a Christian, that you ever tried to read the Bible? It's a big book. It's a daunting book. Like, they're going to need help to read the Bible, to understand the Bible. I want to encourage you to lead a Bible study and invite your friends and neighbors to come and be with you. Invite them to come be with us next weekend. The good news is, if you're searching for peace and joy, it's exactly what Jesus, God with us, has come to give. Listen to these words of Jesus in John 14, 27. "My peace I give to you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Or a little later on in John 16, 33, Jesus is speaking. He says, "But I've told you these things," he's speaking to his disciples, "so that in me you may have peace. In this world you're going to get trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Pastor A.W. Tozer said this. He said, quote, "Most Christians are theological Christians." He said, "They're attempting the impossible. They're trying to be happy without a sense of God's presence with them." How sad. Because the greatest gift that God gives us is his presence. Jesus said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Christmas is really an invitation by God. He's saying, "Look at what I've done to come near to you. Because you're a priority for me. Because I want to give you peace and I want to give you joy. And yes, I want to cover your sin and reconcile you back to me. Look at what I've done to come near to you. So now draw near to me. I don't just want to be a theological concept alone. I want to be a friend." And you know what? Friends show up when things get hard. Somehow, simply by their presence, things are a little less tough, a little less hard, and a little more joyful, even if the circumstances haven't yet changed. Our joys are deepened and our troubles are lightened simply by their presence with us. And if that's true of a friend with us, how much more when the friend with us is God himself? Brings us to the third point, which is this, is that God's presence is an opportunity. You can go all in on Christ because he went all in on you. I don't know if you've ever been to London, but there's a square there. It's called Trafalgar Square, and there's a tall pillar. And at the top of this tall pillar is a statue. It's like a 40-foot-high pillar. There's a statue of Lord Nelson. Now, Lord Nelson was a famous British naval leader, and he won a bunch of important battles for Britain. But when you're in the square, because of how high up the statue is, it's really too high and no one can really see it. So about 40 years ago, a new statue, an exact replica of the original, was erected at eye level so that everyone could see what was 40 feet above them that they couldn't see. And in the same way, God transcends our ability to see him clearly. But in Jesus, we have the exact representation. As God's word says, he's the image of the invisible God. To know God, we only need to look at Jesus. If you want to know what God's like, you have to look at Jesus. If you want to know the characteristics of God, the heart of God, how God is, then you look at Jesus. And when you look at Jesus, what do you see about the nature of God? Well, we see not only that we're his priority, and we see not only that he offers us peace and joy, we see that his presence presents us with an opportunity. What will we do with what he has done at Christmas? Listen to how the book of Philippians 2 puts it. In chapter 2, verse 6 through 11, it says this: though he was God, Jesus did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. When he came in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Or as the old hymn says that we often sing, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Christ has gone all in on you. The only question is, will you go all in on him? God with us has been decided at the first Christmas. Us with God can only be decided one life at a time. So what should our response be to God with us, to this incredible truth? Let's pray. God, even now, as I walk through an opportunity to respond to the truth that you are God Emmanuel, God with us, I pray that you would, by the power of your Spirit, attend to each person, those at the 1115 South, those online, those that are gathered here now in this room. What should our response be to this incredible truth? I want to offer you three possible options. The first is this, is for you to receive his presence. Have you welcomed Jesus into your life? The greatest gift you can receive this Christmas is the gift of salvation through him. In a moment, we're going to get to hear the stories of people that have gone all in on Christ because Christ has gone all in on them. And we're going to get to see the celebration of their baptism. But what about you? If you've never done that, I want to give you that opportunity now for you to say, okay, God, you've come to be God with us, and I want to be with you. Forgive me of my sin because of what Jesus has done on the cross. I repent of my sin, and I place my faith and my hope in you. And I'm asking that you would give me a new birth, a spiritual rebirth that would change me from the inside out, that you would save me because of your grace. You would welcome me into your kingdom because of what you did in dying on the cross and then 3 days later resurrecting for us and for our salvation. And if that's you, whether you're online, whether you're at 1115 South, whether you're gathered here, if for the very first time you're saying yes to Jesus, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your very next step would be to get baptized, and so you can do that in the new year. But let me or one of the other pastors know, and we'll get a new believer's New Testament into your hands to help you continue in your new relationship with God. Maybe others of you, you've done that before. You've placed your faith in Christ before. How will you respond to God with us? The second response I would offer is this, is to just rest in his presence. What are you facing today that you need to know once again that you're not alone in it? Let his presence bring you peace and joy, even before your circumstances change. that he can give you a peace that is not like how the world gives peace. The world gives peace only when circumstances are perfect. God gives peace even if circumstances feel chaotic. And not only peace, but joy. So where do you need to say to God, God, would you help me this Christmas to trust and rest in your presence? In this world, we'll have trouble, but Jesus says, take heart, meaning grab hold of your heart. It's where we get the word courage from. Grab hold of your heart and rest in his presence with peace and joy. And then third and finally, not only receive his presence and rest in his presence, but share his presence. The world around us is filled with people who are desperately seeking peace and joy. They need to know that God is with us, that we and they are God's priority because he loves us so much, and that Christ offers us peace in a way that the world cannot give and joy in a way that darkness cannot defeat. This Christmas, who is it that God is saying, I want you to share about my presence with those in your life, with those around you? I want you to be bold. I want you to not put it off. I want you to expect that you're the person that I'm going to use to help that friend or family member, neighbor or classmate come to know me and respond to the good news of Jesus. So even now, maybe you could think of a family member or friend who doesn't yet know Jesus, that's spiritually unconvinced, and pray for them, that they would come to know him. This Christmas, may we celebrate with joy, knowing that the God of the universe is not distant, but he's near. He is Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I've already mentioned, about 30 people, not about 30 exactly people, are declaring publicly that they're going all in on Jesus because he came to be God with us. And they're going all in on Jesus because of what he has done for them. And we're going to get to hear five different stories in this service. So without further ado, let me bring up first Araceli. Araceli, we come on up here and we'll hear a bit of your story.
My name is Araceli. I proudly stand here today as a testament of God's unwavering love and grace. Before believing that God is for me, I experienced loneliness, rejection, and doubt. But over the last 12 months, being in church has helped me develop the confidence I needed to connect with the Holy Spirit in my most vulnerable moments. By his love and grace, he sustains me and reminds me how he is not done with me yet. He has simply gotten started. And he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I am getting baptized to publicly declare my unconditional love for my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my all.
Amen, 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 amen. It's been really fun to watch Araceli growing in Christ and seeing the vibrancy of the joy that God has given her. And so, Araceli, will you go ahead and take this little symbolic record of your sin? You go ahead and put it up there on the cross, because Colossians says that he's nailed that record to the cross and set you free. You can go ahead out to the hallway and get ready. Next, we're going to have Braden come on up here. So, Braden, would you jump up here, buddy? Come on. How are you, Braden?
My name is Braden. Before deciding to trust in Jesus, I was drowning in sin. I tried to get out but couldn't, and it only got worse and worse. Though I hurt on the inside, I lied and did not open up to anyone, not even God. But at my lowest point, my faith in Jesus began to grow. I went to Hume Camp, and on the second day there, God spoke to me, saying, "Your sins are washed away, and I'm here for you." After a few days, God gave me a vision of a beautiful grassy plain and pink sunset. There was a sparkling river, and my sins were being washed away. I feel as though a massive weight has been lifted off my shoulders, and I can freely move around. I'm getting baptized because I have fully put my faith in Jesus and thank him for my salvation.
That's amazing, amazing. Braden, you can go ahead and take this symbolic record of your sin. Put it up there on the cross, knowing you're set free from that, and indeed your sins are washed away. You can head on out to the hallways. Next, we're going to have Noemi come on up here. Noemi, come on up here.
How are you today?
My name is Noemi. Before I decided to trust in Jesus, I didn't fully realize how much the Lord cares about me. And I took for granted how privileged I was to grow up in such a caring church community. I remember choosing to accept Jesus when I was 6 years old, but now I truly understand more of how much He loves us. Before, when a problem came up, I would think, how can I solve this by myself? But now I can trust that God will guide me to do what is right. I have learned to ask Him for help when I need it, and I know that He will take care of me.
Amen, amen. Let's applaud God's work in Noemi's life. Go ahead and take that. You can put that up there on the cross, Noemi, knowing that you are set free from that and that God is with you. Go ahead on out to the hallway, and you can get ready. Next, we're going to have Milo come on up here. So, Milo, join us, buddy.
My name is Milo. Before I decided to trust Jesus with my life, I tried to take care of my problems by myself and by my own power. While I first believed in Jesus when I was younger, I only really relied on Him for what I thought were the big things. Now I know that I can trust Jesus with anything and that He cares for it all. I'm getting baptized today because I have realized that time is limited and I want to follow Jesus more now.
Amazing, amazing. Milo, go ahead and take that and put that on the cross as a symbol of the record of your sin being canceled. And you can head on out to the hallway. In fact, Noemi and Milo are brothers and sisters. You probably connected that from their last names. But next, we're going to have Edward come on up here. Come on up here, Edward. We'll hear some of your stories.
My name is Edward. Before trusting in Jesus, I based my life on the words of other people and their actions toward me. I was really self-conscious about the way I looked or how others might perceive me. A couple months ago, while listening to someone speak at our church, I felt the Holy Spirit inside my heart, like God was telling me, this is the time to fully commit myself to follow Jesus. Since making the decision to trust and follow Him, I feel different. I'm a happier person, and I accept how I look despite what others might say. I'm getting baptized today to declare that my life belongs to Jesus alone.
Amen, amen, Edward, amen. You can go ahead and put that up there on the cross, knowing that you're set free from that, and head on out to the hallway. And first we'll have Araceli come on down whenever you're ready, Araceli. Araceli, it's been fun to watch God growing you bit by bit over these last 12 months. And because of your faith in Jesus Christ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next, we'll have Braden come on down. Baptism is the symbolic going under the water, represents being dead, and coming up out of the water represents resurrection in Christ, a new life in Christ. So, Braden, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And next we'll have Noemi who will come on down. Scripture speaks about being baptized into Christ, and then our family, we become brothers and sisters in Christ with one another. And so Noemi, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And next we'll have Milo come on down. We're really witnessing miracles. It's a miracle when someone comes into the kingdom of God from the kingdom of darkness. And so, Milo, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Last but not least, we're going to have Edward come on down. And so, Edward, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.